Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, and mostly yeah, because we are within an hour now, Al.
Woohoo!
We are inside the 1 hour mark. You've made us wait two so far. So now we got about 55 minutes until Super Crosstalk starts with Mason and Ireland. And we finally will get to hear the story. If nothing else, you spiked the Twitter numbers today. That's exciting.
Well, John and I, we actually did connect. And it looks like we're going to wait till Dodgers' first game for the postseason. We think it would be really good to kind of merge that thing together.
Is there anything that is not specifically germane to your story that is just a side to what you guys did last night, or something adjacent to it that you can share that won't spoil any of the actual story itself? Like, is there, like, did you guys go grab a drink? Did you have some dinner? Like, take me through the parts that don't have anything to do with the story.
So here's the thing. I think it's all connected.
Okay.
And I know that might sound annoying, and Amanda's probably going to come back in and say, you're an idiot, and that's fine. That's fair. But it's all connected. Like, I think once you go, you go. You just tell the whole thing. So, and some parts of it are just incredibly random that I find I just find them hilarious, and I have a feeling you're going to find it hilarious. Now, whether that's going to change everybody's lives that's on the radio or listening in their car on the 405, probably not, but I think you're going to find it funny.
Okay, so here's my, because I've fallen victim to this myself, that when you are in the moment and you are there and you've been out, and
that definitely happens.
And you think this is the craziest thing that's ever happened. And then you tell someone else, they're like, yeah. Is there the possibility of that the lens upon which you're viewing this story was distorted to the point where it might not land the way you're hoping?
That could happen, but it's more when something's happening. You know this. When something's happening in the moment, you want to go live right there. You're like, you know what I'm saying?
You didn't have your Comrex in your back pocket?
I didn't have my Comrex, but I wanted to just get on the radio and just go. The fact that it has to marinate for X amount of hours, that can also, you know, obviously always change the story.
Did you tell Lady Slee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Anybody else, like at breakfast or anything?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was a guy that texted Trav.
Yeah. So there's at least one person that
was worthy of hearing it.
Five exclamation points.
Yeah.
So
maybe
we'll see.
Call in.
Emily, I'm going to ask you and go, Taylor, you're next. Is Janice still in there? I can't see her on the call.
I'm not here right now.
Okay. So does it live up to the hype? Emily.
Can I guess their predictions?
Sure.
I think yes. I think I trust Slee.
Taylor.
Okay, so I was going to say yes for Emily, and I was going to say no for Taylor.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to live up to the hype, Slee.
I think that it's
I want to hear your version.
I want to hear Taylor's witch story, too.
I would not recommend. That was
which one?
Pretty great.
Are you cursed now?
I feel like there were multiple witches in his lives that he's had to try to exercise. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it's like the Wizard of Oz.
You didn't drop a house on anybody, did you? A bucket of water or any of those sorts of things?
You know all the sisters from Hocus Pocus?
I don't know them.
Gosh. I love Hocus Pocus. How do you not know about Hocus Pocus?
Because I don't. What is it?
It's a movie. I guess it's more my age group. It's like a cult classic. But anyway, this is again a bad story.
Do you know Hocus Pocus, Slee?
No, I do not.
So this is an example of a bad story that could fall flat that I thought was a great story.
Well, see, but to your everlasting credit, but you're like, quickly when you realize, just pull the ripcord, I'm out of here, right? I eject, yep. I'm just going to, hey, look, nobody bats 1,000, you're going to miss occasionally, it's fine.
I know it, Emily. One of the witches made me watch it.
Every day in the morning they had to watch it.
I'm looking at the TV right now, Slee. Ramona's doing NBA Today. I wonder if she's anxious to hear the story. I wonder if it's worked its way back over to the TV side, and they're all sitting around listening to the radio waiting for it to come out.
There'll be a whole segment on NBA Today.
Malika Andrews brings it up. Mark Spears says, you know, this is a really interesting brewing.
Why not? All right, so Dodgers regular season. By the way, is it just me, or did that regular season go by really quickly? I know that it actually was a little longer because we got started a little late, but that 160, and maybe it's because the Dodgers were just cruising the entire time. But
yeah, probably had something to do with that.
It felt like it went by quick.
Well, how about this? You want to hear something really disappointing? You know what this Sunday is? Actually, no, starting tonight. It's already freaking week 5 of the NFL.
Bizarre. All right, so regular season only, not what may happen in the playoffs, not who's most important for what's coming up starting next Tuesday, but just for the 162 games that we watched over the last season, who was the most valuable player for this Dodger team 2022?
Okay, so this is not separating pitchers, but it's everybody?
One guy, everybody that's played for this team this year, everybody's in the pool.
Okay, so it comes down to two guys for me. It's and I'll pick which one of them, but Julio and Freddie for me were the two. Freddie Freeman came and he was as advertised, absolutely amazing. Adds to a lineup that already has some, you know, real deal guys, but you got that 1-2-3 of Mookie, Trey, and Freddie. Ice in his veins, doesn't matter the situation. He's amazing. He's actually just unbelievable to watch. He's what do they call it? It's like literally a professional hitter, but a professional of the professional hitters. But Julio for me is a pro's pro. But Julio for me is the MVP. All the different – think about what that pitching staff looked like at the beginning of the season and what it looked like at the end of the season. He's the only consistent one throughout. Now, that's not to take anything away from Tyler Anderson, who was there. That's not taking anything away from their bullpen, who was fantastic. But Julio to me is the MVP of the Dodgers.
Okay. Those are decent choices, but I don't think that those are mine because Julio performed at the level that Julio performs at. Freddie Freeman performed at the level that you would expect a recent MVP and World Series champion to perform at. The guy that outkicked his expectation more than anybody else on this team and, quite frankly, carried this team for 3 months, maybe longer, was Tony Gonsolin. Tony Gonsolin barely made the rotation. Tony Gonsolin was a guy that was fighting like crazy to keep a spot. He and Tyler Anderson were fighting for that fifth spot in the rotation. And not only did he – well, Anderson got it too. Not only did they get it, this was a guy that was on his way to winning a Cy Young before he went down. And obviously missing the last month of the season doesn't help, but they're not where they are right now without him. After what happened to Buehler, after what happened to Bauer, these guys are either hurt or, you know, told to go home. And this guy picked up all of that responsibility and handled it beautifully. I think he was extraordinary.
It's actually really tough to make a case against that. However, they are where they are, and they were able to do that, and he still wasn't there, right? Like, he missed just enough time to, you would say, and you and I have made this argument before, a lot of these guys that were out, it's not like, okay, that person went out, and now all of a sudden the Dodgers started struggling. I think that probably happens if Julio wasn't there. Obviously, the postseason is going to be a different story. But Gonsolin, listen, amazing season. Every time he pitched for, I think there was a while there, it was, well, I mean, things are going to change. The averages are going to average themselves out. They never did. He was excellent all year.
All right, let's go to the next one here because I have a feeling you and I are going to kind of be – this might be too obvious. Is there any answer other to the question of who is the biggest disappointment this year? Is it Craig Kimbrel and that's it? Is there anything beyond that?
Let me throw in, we spent a lot of time talking about Bellinger. Mm-hmm. However, the only problem with Bellinger is it's been consistent now, right? Like, he's telling us that I'm not who I was over that stretch. And this year was just another example of that. Kimbrel, you know, Kimbrel's a funny one because Kenley last season had plenty of moments where you felt like, okay, can you really trust the guy? The amount of conversations we're having about Kimbrel this year, we also had a lot of those conversations about Kenley. Mm-hmm. But Kimbrel, there's a disappointment, but I think B, I don't know if it was completely off the wall for me, But you probably give it to him because Bellinger's been doing it now for a more consistent
Yeah,
basis.
Bellinger would only be eligible for a biggest surprise, right? Because had he all of a sudden turned back into that guy that's hitting, you know, 275, 280, hitting 35, 40 home runs, and just, you know, he always has played pretty good defense. But he kind of is what he is at this point. Mm-hmm. That isn't a huge surprise to me. Craig Kimbrel, the fact that the question, will Craig Kimbrel be on the postseason roster, is being asked legitimately, I think answers that question for us, right? That it was so weird. I texted, I forget who I texted yesterday, but watching the Dodger game, they're up by 5 or 6 runs, whatever it was. It's the 8th inning of a blowout. It's a mop-up situation, and Craig Kimbrel was pitching in the 8th inning. That was just like, wow. That brought it home in such a meaningful way that, hey, listen, we have nowhere to put you other than in a totally, utterly meaningless situation. It was shocking, really.
Yeah, so this, if the argument is, you know, as far as disappointments go, luckily for the Dodgers, even the disappointments that they had, it didn't, you know, I'm not saying that you can't be disappointed. I'm not saying you can't look at the trade deadline and ask why the front office didn't. Maybe, look, Blake Treinen coming back, or they thought, hey, Dustin May will be fine. Maybe we can find a role for him out of that bullpen, and maybe they still can. But I just use that as an example of, they had disappointments, and it never stopped the engine, right? Like,
no,
the engine kept running. It really did.
It really did. Emily's got an interesting option for biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I think it'd be Treinen. Again, you kind of mentioned it just recently, but like before the season, we were thinking he is going to be this big closer, or they're gonna have like kind of a different closing situation for him. But he is going to be their ace in that part of the innings. And so I think it was really disappointing that we only got, what, 5 innings out of him this season, and we might not get in the postseason at all. It's a huge disappointment, and that also leads to one of the biggest downfalls of the Dodgers this season, quote-unquote downfalls. Obviously, they're doing fine, but that they can't close games.
They won. You answered your own question. They won 111 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to say, hey, we didn't close game. They won 111 games,
right?
A franchise record. So I want to do one more here, Salee.
Okay.
The best moment of the year, and I want to go first here because I got a couple of numbers. The SIG guys kind of put this together. Remember when this was on June 26th, the Dodgers go to Atlanta to take on the Braves, and Freddie Freeman has an emotional press conference, and, you know, it ends up he fires his agent or he doesn't. There's the whole kerfluffle about did he know, didn't he know,
yep.
that whole thing. And he was terribly emotional.
Kershaw comes in, yep.
So that's the moment when Clayton Kershaw, and I'm paraphrasing here, but not by much, was, dude, are you with us or not? I'm glad that he had a nice time there, but we're pretty good too. Remember that? Here's what happened. Before that, Freddie Freeman was having a nice year. He was batting 303, okay, through 70 games. After that, through 89 games, 343. His average spiked 40 points. From that point forward, it went 40 points. He hit more home runs. His slug went up 50 points. His OPS went up 60 points. His on-base percentage jumped up 35 points. That everything from that point forward was, we're done looking at our ex-girlfriend over there. It's over. You're over here. You're with us. And that moment where Clayton Kershaw did what every really good team needs to do, have a leader that's not afraid to challenge another great player, basically said, dude, enough of that already. Either come over here with us or don't, but I'm done hearing about this.
So there's another moment that stands out to me. Trade deadline happens, and the Padres go out and they go all in. They go get Juan Soto. They get Josh Bell. They get Hader. They get Drury. And they end up with a lineup that you think Tatis is going to be coming back at some point. The idea and the concept is, look, everything's going to go through the Dodgers. And I'm talking about that just from, if you're a Padre perspective, everything runs through the Dodgers, specifically in the NOS, specifically in the NL. Couple days later, literally a couple days after that trade deadline, the Padres go to L.A. for a 3-game set. Dodgers sweep them, and they dominate them.
Mm-hmm.
I know things were already handled. I know the division didn't matter at that point. Sometimes I think you could send messages, and I don't think that was a message for just the Padres. I thought it was a message just across the board. You can do whatever you want to do. You go out and try to get the players that you want. You could come and specifically try to compete against us. We're just in a different league. That was, for me, that was kind of one of those, like, yeah, this is just, it's a different level of baseball. There's a lot of buzz around the Padres. And then by the time they left Dodger Stadium that weekend, they lost three in a row. None of the games were really close.
Emily is coming off of a perfect 10-point week. It's our NFL picks against the spread. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Slee, so like we like to do on Thursdays, we got an NFL game tonight. We like to pick our NFL picks against the spread and, of course, a little college football thrown in there as well. Here are the standings after 4 weeks of the season. Emily Hebel with a lead.
Let's
she
go.
Has 26 points. I am behind her in second place, 23. Al is in third with 21. And Taylor, do better. You are with a measly 16 points. You might want to consult one of your witches to see if she can, throw a spell on the rest of us.
I'm taking your guys' advice sometimes. Like, Trav, you have like these leading statements and questions leading into it. And Slee's like,
sure?
An Herbalife salesman over there. He's trying to, say, "Oh, go for it, Taylor. Gamble."
I said, "Let's gamble."
Let's gamble is right.
That's
right.
My line.
Here's our order, Taylor. You are going first today. We like to do. We're going to start with our Los Angeles Rams. Buffalo Wild Wings countdown to kickoff starting at 11:30, and the kickoff is at 1:25, followed closely by the Coors Light postgame show live from Hollywood
Stop
Park
by
Casino.
The booth.
Yeah, come on by. South side of SoFi Stadium. Good reminder, Emily. Thank you. The Rams are at home against the Cowboys. The Rams are 4-point favorites. What do you got?
I have Cowboys 1.
Cowboys at 1.
Oh,
any particular reason?
Nah, he doesn't want any help on this one.
Yeah, that was quick, too. He's probably got a subscription to one of those sites that, get all the information.
Around.
All right. Emily, you are up next. Cowboys,
right.
Rams.
So I'm going to have a little more explanation on mine. So I went to my trusty guys at SIG, and they have some information about this in regards to this game. So the Cowboys have covered 9 out of the last 10 road games dating back to last year. They are also there's one of the stats. Anyway, I am going to pick the Cowboys at 2. I think it's going to be a close game. I think they're a cover. I do think the Rams are going to win, but I think they're going to cover. It's going to be a close game.
Alan Sliwa.
I don't feel good about this one. Out of all of them, this is the toughest one to call. I'll take Cowboys. I'm going to take a page from Taylor's book. I'm going 1.
So I got to go game theory now here, right? I think that the Cowboys are definitely going to cover. I think that the Rams will win the game. I was going to go Cowboys, but this is a chance to make some points, right? This is just straight up game theory. I'm going to go with the Rams, and I'm going to put them at 2 because and there is a little bit of they have to win this game. You've been saying, Slee, and you asked DeMarco this, their schedule from really this point forward, minus that Carolina game, is a monster. They have to find wins where they can find them. Everybody's saying what's going on with McVay. I think he finds something. LA.
It's going to be a Cowboys home
2.
Game, essentially, too.
Emily, number 1. Yep, that's true, too. Emily, number 2 game, Al's Raiders on the road in Kansas City. Chiefs, 7-point favorites.
So while I do feel like I would have put this as my 4 choice, I would have gone all in, but I have it on my 3 because it's an in-division game. So I have the Chiefs at 3. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to blow out the Raiders. Sorry, Raider fans. But it's at my 3 instead of my 4.
Okay. Slee.
All right, losing confidence week by week on the Raiders on this one. And we're just watching the Chiefs. By the way, this is perfect where everyone is going to go Chiefs, not just here, but I feel like Vegas is. And this is where it could easily be a four-point game, but the Chiefs still win. I'm not going to oversell this. I'm going Chiefs, and I'm going to make this my my four.
All right, so Al gets the Chiefs at four. NFL games are almost always close. NFL games are very rarely blowouts. The last time that the Las Vegas Raiders were in Kansas City, I think the score was 48-9.
Well,
that was after
happened?
They stomped the logo to open the game, fumbled the opening kickoff, which was a
stupid score. Seconds later.
Took about 6 seconds to have it. I'm going to go Kansas City as well, but I think I know I've said this to you, Slee. I still think the Raiders are pretty good. I really, truly do. But I don't love the Raiders in this one. I'm going to do KC at one. Taylor.
Okay, I'm going Chiefs four.
Chiefs at four. I am so that's
the Taylor, Raiders. We either do good work this week or we're both going to get demolished.
Raiders are not only going to cover, they're going to win because all four of us took the Chiefs. All right, Slee, you go first on this one. It is Los Angeles at Cleveland. The Chargers actually road favorites by three.
Chargers don't give me this vote of confidence. I don't know much at all about the Browns. Chargers are kind of in a – you can't lose games against the Browns when you still got all the tough matchups that they have. I'm going to take the Chargers in this one. I think they cover the three. I'm going to put it as my two.
Okay, San Diego at two. I'm
Love
up next.
It. Keep saying San Diego.
It's just I can't have two LAs on my sheet. I got to have San Diego in there. I'm going to take Cleveland. Not because I like them, but because this is what the Chargers do, right? They win one, they lose one, they win one, they lose one. And by the way, road favorites don't love that. I'll take the Chargers at number three. Emily.
Okay, so I forgot to do this ahead of time, but I was going to quickly research the weather in Cleveland this weekend, but I'm assuming it's going to be a chilly one. I
think not
it's gonna,
great
not
is
great.
Always a good answer for Cleveland.
So that gives 1 point in the Cleveland category. I think it's going to be a close game. I do think that I subscribe to what you were saying, Travis, about the Chargers always win one, lose one, so I have my Browns at my four.
Ooh, she's going big at four. Taylor.
I, too, have the Browns, putting them number two.
All right, Browns at number two. Slee, you got a chance to make a little bit there. The last one, our college game, SC at home in the Coliseum. It is a 13-point spread, just shy of two touchdowns. I'm going first on this one. It burned me badly last week with a 26-point gap. I had SC at four, so because I'm a genius, SC at four. Allen.
I think we're going to get baited into this again, but I'm going to fall for the trap. I'm actually taking this one. I'll go USC. I only got three left. Put three there.
All right. SC for three. M?
So I'm going to go against this. So we are now currently in the danger zone of USC and Lincoln Riley. We are in October. We are nearly into mid-October. So, and Washington State has been okay this year.
Yes.
They have taken
beat
down
Wisconsin
some big teams.
In Madison.
Yes.
Should have beaten Oregon.
Yes. And they have played either games very closely or they've blown out teams. So they can score points. So I have Washington State at my one.
I want Taylor's information on the Washington State football team. Taylor, go.
Got nothing on them, but I got USC at three.
All right, so there you go. Emily.
Taylor, we're basically identical this week. I think we have one different
let's
pick.
Let's see. Casey, yeah, you've got the number two San Diego-Cleveland game as your only split there. So put all your marbles on that one. You're going to catch up to – Emily, just put a 10-pointer. This is about where you start to have big weeks too, Slee. This is where I come unglued, I lose the entire thing, and then I close fast.
So last week was a good week for me. I think I got eight. So I made up some ground. I don't really like these picks. I think I went way too much, and this is the worst thing to do. I think I'm going with all the favorites here. I don't like doing that, so we'll see what happens.
Well, the dog on the road, or I should say the home – I can't even talk right now. The road favorite, beware of the home dog, I think is the phraseology right there. The Rams, let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah,
they,
you said, by the way.
They kind of have to win, don't they? This feels oddly must-winny because of what's waiting for them after the Carolina game and after the bye.
Did you say when you were doing the points – Rams, you think Rams are going to win this game?
I do. I think it's going to be one of these 17-14 kind of situations because they have to, Slee, right? What's waiting for here's what it is. Carolina next week. Okay, you figure the Rams should be able to take care of business there. Bye. And then after that, it's either
49ers
it's a division game, always hard. okay? So you have nothing but division games, Kansas City, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Packers, and the Bucks. That, I mean, and the Saints in New Orleans. That's the rest of your schedule. There's not one game there other than maybe the Seattle games. And again, Seattle's 2-2 as well. So when you start to look at it, there aren't a lot of, okay, you gotta have it. The Cowboys are a gotta have it.
So I think they're fortunate that nobody's really running away with it in the division. Nobody's really running away with it in the NFC. Every team looks pretty average. Now that's going to change, obviously, next 4, 5, 6 weeks or so. Listen, if they lost on Sunday, I don't think the world's going to end. It just makes what is already an uphill battle that much tougher, you know, if that makes sense. But do you really have all this confidence of Arizona or the 49ers to use as an example? I know the Niners might be the one outlier where you feel more confident about them than you do the Cardinals or the Seahawks. But I actually kind of have this feeling that nobody's probably going to run away with anything, and it will be a close battle all the way through, and all these teams are going to continue to look okay, right? Like, I don't know what's going to change for the Rams this upcoming week where all of a sudden something's just going to click, and now Stafford's going to have more time, or Allen Robinson just he has 8 catches for 95. I don't know if anything's going to change right away. I really don't.
There are two different things here. Like, what you're describing is, can they find a way into the playoffs? I think win or lose, the answer is yes, because of all the reasons that you just described. But I think what'll be particularly interesting come Sunday night, call it around 5 o'clock, I think we're going to have a pretty good answer to the question of if this is a good team or not. Right? Because the Cowboys are a good team. The Cowboys have a good record. They have a really good defense, and they're going to get their quarterback back at some point. If the Rams look like they've looked through the first 4 games offensively, I know that their offensive line, like DeMarco was talking about, is banged up, but at some point you got to figure out a way to win some of these games. And if they have another one where they just can't get anything done offensively, I think we're going to have a pretty good answer to the question of, are they good? Now, that doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs. That's, to me, is different. When I say good, are they good enough to go win playoff games, potentially go win playoff games on the road, and maybe, you know, get into position to try to do this all over again? I think we'll have a pretty good sense of that on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's by the way, that's the Cowboys. Once Dak went down, it was like, okay, that's it. Their season's
3-0.
They've been playing some damn good football. And I'm not telling you it's perfect football, but it's not easy to win in the NFL week to week, and they're kind of finding a way to string together a W. It's impressive.
You know who's got the 2 best pass rushes in the NFL?
The Niners and the Cowboys?
Yep. So buckle up. When your offensive line is not good, back-to-back weeks for that. No question. All right. LeBron had a moment last night. It's pretty funny to me. He wanted to send a message to Adam Silver and just used a post-game press conference to do it. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. 25 minutes? Give or take, before the story. Sleeve. Have you heard from John yet today? Is this have you guys communicated?
Nothing.
Hey, mate.
But he's aware that you're holding out to tell the story until he's here. He does know that portion.
Yeah, he does.
It's not going to be all right, tell us the story, and John goes, what story? That's not going to be the way it plays out, right?
Well, if he does, then I'll go to plan B.
Which is to unplug your Comrex from the wall.
Oh, no. My Wi-Fi went out.
Yeah, well, so here's what happened. We went out and
that's
you're,
it.
And you're just gone.
No, I think he's going to be very excited to tell the story.
Okay, good. I'm excited to hear it. I'm not going to lie.
He'll be excited
you've
to tell
been
it.
Here's the good news, right? That if nothing else, you have successfully distracted me from thinking about the fact that Anthony Davis was on the injured list last night and didn't play. That was only something that we've talked about briefly.
Pretty close.
Is pretty good news, I guess, because when I stop and say it again out loud, it fills me with the same emotions I had earlier, which are you kidding me? We're one preseason game into this and we're already running this back?
It's frustrating. I'm not going to lie, it is. You know, listen, we could sit here, you can make a case, it's preseason basketball, what the hell are you talking about? The guy's out for a preseason game, game 2 of the preseason, who the hell cares? I think a lot of Laker fans care. I really do. When we saw that status report from Monday's game, Lonnie Walker was on there, Troy Brown Jr. was on there, Dennis Schroeder still dealing with his visa situation, and then you saw Anthony Davis. you're telling me that you didn't look at that for a quick second and say, interesting, okay, I thought we were good to go. Then he doesn't play yesterday. It's kind of a late scratch. And the Lakers are saying, you know, it's precautionary. Guys, don't pay attention to this. It's preseason. But I think every Laker fan is paying attention to it. How many different times have we sat here and said, the entire season is predicated? Really, you could say the future of the Lakers, a lot of that is predicated on the health of Anthony Davis. Did LeBron play last night?
No. I mean, yes. Yes, last night,
LeBron
yes.
played 17 minutes, 23 points, 8 of 11 from the field. Russ, love him or hate him, but when tip-off comes, Russ is there every single night. And the AD piece of it, who, by the way, is not going to play tonight as well, of course that's going to give you some concern and some disappointment. How could it not?
It's your – look, if LeBron is out there year 20 and Russell Westbrook is out there year 16 and you're trying to get ready for a season where the only thing that we're really all the little things can kind of swing it a little way in either direction. The big thing that's going to determine whether this season is, you know, interesting, successful, potentially, you know, very interesting and successful, or, yeah, it happened all over again, is Anthony Davis's health. That's it. The rest of it, if LeBron's going to be LeBron, maybe Russ is a little better, that would be great, wonderful. But if he's in and out of the lineup and he can't play on a regular basis, they're stuck in the mud. It's just not going to change. And that it already is a topic in the second game. And LeBron James, who has been around the block more than Anthony Davis, played a lot more basketball than Anthony Davis has in his life through, you know, just being older and going to the playoffs more or less every season of his entire life, that he can do it. It's a really thing to just kind of swipe aside as, oh, it's the preseason. It really doesn't matter. If it were anybody other than him, I would buy it, but I'm not buying it for him.
So we were talking about this, maybe it was yesterday, that certain guys, you just want to see him walk it and not talk it. I don't need to hear anything. Nobody needs to see another quote. Nobody needs to hear from this perspective, that perspective. We get it. There was, by the way, last year, both of those injuries that he had, kind of freak accidents. Like those are not normal injuries, but it happened, and it can, you know, obviously continues to happen to AD. Nobody wants to kind of hear anything else. LeBron walks it. He doesn't talk it, right? LeBron yep. is there. He shows up. There is no kind of questioning of, damn, I hope this guy can go. You know that's there for LeBron. Unfortunately for Anthony Davis, doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't. And I'm not – listen.
He hasn't earned it.
We are all on the same page here. Everyone wants to see the Lakers have an incredibly successful season. No question about it. But you're depending on this one individual that over the last two games played 76 games out of 164. And in preseason, you're hoping that 5 months, 3 weeks off, get your body right, that – they're working on right. We're supposed to be complaining today about, do you like that lineup? Do you not like that lineup? This player look good. By the way, can I say this as well? And I don't know if, and you tell me this, it's a preseason game, and maybe I'm too close into it. Maybe I'm too big of a fan. There's a different vibe with the team. Like it really is. I feel something a little bit different
What's
than I
the
felt
difference?
A year ago.
What's the difference?
So yesterday, let me... Where we sat
because
yesterday.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Al, but yeah. Just watching it on TV, I'm not picking that up. Okay. So you got to explain it to me.
Yesterday on TV, or yesterday at the game, we're sitting, the way Vegas has us, this just happens to be this way, Radio Row is first row. So we are literally right on the sideline there. And you're now able to see interaction with Darvin Ham and the other players, interaction between the players, just teammates playing together. How quick the coaching staff, specifically Darvin Ham, is just the communication, the correcting things right out the gate. Russ seems like it's. I see it a lot of the time. Darvin Ham's got an arm over Russ. There's a vibe that you feel. Okay, at least, and it's early. You know, it's a honeymoon, so it's really tough to kind of gauge it. It feels connected, and LeBron feels connected to some of these other guys. Patrick Beverley might be the most entertaining player to watch in the NBA.
That
and
does
I'm not
come
talking,
through. That does come no, through.
No, but here's the thing. He's entertaining, but not just for show. Like, there is
no,
certain things he's
stuff.
Doing and he's saying, and his actions that other people, you can feel, it's contagious. So I got to see some of that yesterday that I don't feel like I always got to see. And last year was so screwed up. And when you have so many older players, they're less apt to change. There's a lot of young players that are like, hey, you tell me what the hell to do. I'm going to do it. And they're all listening to some of the older vets.
You know, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Rams a second ago, because you can't simulate distress, right? You cannot simulate bad results. You could say, okay, let's go make sure we have bring our intensity and all of these things, and that's fine. But how does a person react when they're legitimately getting squeezed? And here's what I mean. The Rams are getting squeezed right now, and the schedule's about to get really, really challenging. We'll see what it looks like a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, and how everybody responds to it, because this is new for a lot of these guys in the Rams. They can play nice and put arms around guys and play defense and all these things during the preseason because the stakes are, I don't even want to say low, they don't exist. There are no stakes. The schedule that the that the Lakers have coming out of the gates, I think it's through their first 15 games out. There's a Portland game in there and there's two Utah games, which means there are 12 games where the Lakers are going to have their hands full. If a good percentage of those 12 games go poorly, that's when you're going to tell whether or not what you just were describing is actually in them. Like, hey, look, this is a bad stretch. We're playing tough teams. We got to get better. We got to keep working. Then that's really encouraging. But if they go through that stretch and they're, 15, let's say it's, 6-9, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, guys aren't playing defense. Guys are taking bad shots. Guys are missing games. Then I think we're going to have our answer pretty quickly. We can only get the information if it goes either really well, which would be terrific, or if it goes kind of poorly, and yet you still see what you just described.
So what I don't think, and again, you're right, that until push comes to shove, until they're in a back-to-back where they got Denver and they got Utah the next day, just using as an example, right? Until you kind of start dealing with some of that stuff, you're right, we're not going to know if this is just simply the start of a new season and everyone is energized. But I really do have this feeling that Darvin Ham's got a unique respect of a lot of these players. And I think you and I could have, we already noticed that before.
He's got there's a physicality to him that you better respect him.
And like his journey, the fact that he was a player in the league, that he won a championship, he was a role player that was always trying to find a way. He had to grind to get where he sits today. He had to grind to stay in the league. He had to grind to be an assistant coach for X amount of years. Nothing was handed to this guy. And that's not, by the way, you can probably say that about a lot of different coaches that are in the NBA today, but it was kind of this, hey, Chris Paul goes out of his way in the early third quarter, late second quarter, whenever it was, to come by and say hello to Darvin Ham. Devin Booker goes out of his way during a free throw. I'm going to come to the other side of the court to say hello to Darvin Ham. It's almost as if these, a lot of these players, they respect him. Let's put it that way. Now, how that translates into good basketball for the Lakers, I'm not sure. But I think he's got everybody's attention. Let's put it that way.
So LeBron, after the game, was asked a question. We talked about it yesterday. I think Ireland mentioned it. LeBron very clearly wants to be an owner or at least part of a group that owns the team when the NBA expands. And if they expand to Vegas specifically, he wants to be a part of it. I thought this was really funny. Here's LeBron after the game sending a message to the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, who at the moment is halfway across the world in Abu Dhabi.
I know Adam is in Abu Dhabi right now, I believe. That's where they're at right now? Yeah, with the Bucks and Atlanta. So, but he probably sees every single interview and transcript that comes through from NBA players. So I want the team here, Adam. Thank you.
I think that's so great. Like, hey, Commissioner Silver, Adam, actually, first name basis, Adam. I'd like that team. Thank you in advance. Only LeBron, right? Like, do you know how much juice you have to kind of just throw out the guy that's going to make all these decisions? I'm right here. I'm in town. Make sure that when you start handing out new franchises that I get the one that's right here. I loved it.
You know what's funny is even just being here for a couple of days, it's not even – there is no – do you think that the NBA would expand in Vegas? It's just, okay, hey, so where are they going to play, right? And when is it going to happen?
Yeah, and how much is it going to cost?
How much is it going to cost? And Bron, no question about it, obviously the businessman that he is, understands the power of the market, understands the opportunity, understands what it's going to be like when the Los Angeles Lakers are playing the Las Vegas, whatever it is, or the Golden State Warriors are in town. He sees an incredible business opportunity. Yeah, not too many people. And the fact he goes out of his way Adam Silver listens to all these transcripts. I know he'll hear, like, that, but you might as well just have a one-on-one conversation with him. But he's like, no, I'd rather do it on here so everybody writes about it, and then he's going to get
exactly,
it that way.
You're exactly right. All right, Slee, we got to do the dump, but I hope it's good. I really, really hope that it's good.
The story, the dump or the story?
The story. We are going to hit the super crosstalk sounder at 12:55 and 00 seconds. That's going to happen. It's Travis Slee. The story. It's coming up next. 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I like the dump. It's one of my favorite segments that we do on a daily basis. We get to kind of bounce around and talk about a lot of different things. But, Slee, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't preoccupied for 12:55.
So I got to get down the pregame today. So I'm going to get down to T-Mobile a little early. Just because I want to make sure we have everything set up for the broadcast.
I'm just saying that may be the better option. You should have an escape hatch, a plan B, like you said earlier. All right, let's start with this.
John is a storyteller. I have a feeling his story is going to be a little bit better than my story. I want to be the wingman to the story.
That's the problem. I want the Slee version of what we've been over this. We're going to get it in 8 minutes from right now, so sit tight. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, was asked the question about the home run record. Aaron Judge obviously has 62. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, et cetera, et cetera.
And he said, did you know we made $11 billion? We're good.
That would have been a better answer than the one he gave, because here's what he said.
Well, the record books say what they say. I think that over the history of the game, there have been different eras. The ball performed differently. The equipment was different. And I think the best way to handle it is let fans make their own judgment as to what records are most significant to them.
What a terrible answer.
Love it. I'm glad him and his PR team came up with that.
You have two choices. Barry Bonds is the record holder with 73. It's in the record book. You can look it up. He has 73 home runs. That's the record. Or Roger Maris is the record holder because those other guys have been proven to use PEDs. Those are the only two answers. That ridiculous. That is arguably worse to me than when he called the World Series trophy a piece of metal and Justin Turner wanted to wring his neck. Dude, you're the commissioner of the sport. Have an opinion on something. Have the backbone to say, yeah, Barry Bonds hits 73 home runs. That's what it is. Or say the opposite, but you can decide for yourself. Get out of here.
So. Are you surprised? Because I'm not surprised. Like, you don't respect the answer. You wish he did pick a side. You wish he wasn't so, you know, dancing around things, really not saying anything. But I'm not surprised, Trav. Like, a lot of these commissioners, you put them in this spot. Adam Silver, I've given a lot more credit than some of the other commissioners. A lot of people didn't like his responses about the Robert Sarver deal and the Phoenix Suns owner and suspending him for just a year. And, hey, well, this happened to this owner. And then eventually there was enough heat out there where he's now going to sell the team and that will happen. I think a lot of these guys just they're going to play it safe. They're not going to – I know you want to hear one thing. I think you're going to disappoint yourself if you're expecting something different.
It's such a stupid answer. I didn't expect a good one, but that's an easy one. That's a fastball over the middle of the plate. All right, let's go to this next one. It was today, October 6, 1993. Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, MJ, of the Bulls announces his retirement for the first time. This was the retirement that was then turned into a brief minor league baseball career for a period of time. Mm-hmm. It really was shocking when it happened because he was still full Michael Jordan. There was no decline at all. He was still the best player in the league by a mile. And then he said, I'm out, and oh, by the way, I'm going to go play minor league baseball. Even 20 years, 30 years later, it still doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Shohei, you want to impress us? Why don't you go play a couple NBA games?
Minor league NBA games.
go play in the G League.
Yeah.
It is, by the way, that's got to be in all of sports. That has to be, at least for me, right? And I'm talking about an actual athlete deciding to stop what he's doing or something along those lines. That Jordan moment, it's the entire league now had a chance to go win a chip, right? Like, it changed everything. What do you mean Michael Jordan is not going to play in the NBA anymore and he's going to go play baseball? And now all of a sudden, 6-7 teams that were like, yeah, we have no shot of winning against Michael Jordan. Let's get it in now. And then he comes back and they win three more. Like, it's
well, and it's the three more, too, because look, and I'm not throwing any shade at Olajuwon because Olajuwon's one of the great players of all time. But that he can say, look, I got a couple. I had back-to-backs. And he does, and they're legitimate, and there's no shade here at all. But the fact that Jordan came back and then just ripped off three more,
Oh yeah.
You kind of go like, yeah, all right. But, I mean, okay. There's that very obvious, if I don't leave to go play baseball for whatever reason, who knows what Olajuwon, maybe it's more of a Barkley and a Patrick Ewing or a Karl Malone situation, great players where they never got it done.
Yeah, I'm sure the Houston Rockets said thank you. We appreciate it. I'm sure every Eastern Conference team said thank you in the process, too.
Do any of you guys, Emily Taylor Slee, do any of you guys subscribe to any of the conspiracy theories as to why he left?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
I do.
Which one? Anyone in particular?
I think that there was an issue with the commissioner that you like, hey, maybe you should step aside because we need to get this gambling under control. That was what I do.
Taylor, do you give those any?
Yeah, the same that Emily mentioned.
Slee?
I don't, but I'm waiting for, give me that 30 for 30 or something. Somebody drops a book, and then we'll all kind of look into it and be like, oh, now that makes a lot more sense. I guess I don't fall into those. I'm not easily convinced on some of that stuff, even though I know it probably is happening all the time behind the scenes.
It does happen all the time behind the scenes. Here's why I don't believe it. I'm team conspiracy. Like, I love a good conspiracy theory. I'm here to listen, and I'm you have my full attention. Something like that, I think, would be impossible not to get out. The people that you're dealing with, and to your point, Slee, that whether it's a documentary or a book or something, it's been 30 years. David Stern's dead, right? That if this were a, hey, you got to go take a break for a minute, for whatever the reason is. I'm not even going to speculate what the reason is. But
sure,
if this
sure,
were
sure.
a, you need to go over there and just, you know, you can come back, but not until we give you the thumbs up. I can't imagine that a story of that, a secret of that magnitude could be kept for 30 plus years. That's the only reason I don't believe it, because people are really bad at telling stories, and especially after an essential part of the story has died.
Yeah, now I believe it more. Now I'm in. I'm in with Emily and Taylor.
I go convinced. Left, you go right. I understand. This makes no sense to me. By the way, 90 seconds until Super Crosstalk. I'm just saying. We got
counting down.
We're getting there. Lane Kiffin's dog, the head coach at Ole Miss, former SC head coach, Raider head coach, Tennessee head coach. His dog, Juice, has an NIL
deal. Oh, yeah. He's got an endorsement deal.
He's got it that you get the Grove will receive an exclusive license to Juice's name, image, and likeness in exchange for a gift card to Hollywood Feeds. To get his feeds, he just needs to be a good boy. That's it.
Yeah, I think, what is it? It's like a lab or something like that. I think I saw some photos.
He just needs to remain a very good boy.
Brings him to practice. Really cute dog. How does this all work? Who cuts the check? Where do they cut the check?
Well, I think Juice, if I'm reading this right, Hollywood Feeds leads me to believe that it's a feed store. They probably got animal food, right? So whether it's chickens, cows, pigs, whatever, I'm sure there's some dog food in there as well.
Lane's probably just getting free food.
Juice, I was going to say, I'm sure Lane needed some help on feeding his dog.
Does anybody say no to a free lunch, Juice or otherwise? Who doesn't like
they do not.
A free lunch? 30 seconds, Slee. How you feeling right now?
I have a feeling you're going to like the story. I have a feeling you're going to like
hurry
the story.
Hurry up. We got 22 seconds until we get to hear this story.
Yeah, Mace is the one. Mace is a wild card. I don't know how Mace is going to feel.
Are we live streaming this?
Are we, Cody, is this going to be live streamed? Is this going to be up? We're going to try. Amanda is in the studio. Is John? Do we have John connected?
He is connected.
Okay, John is connected, and it is time for Super Crosstalk. All right, Mace, that's enough.
We don't have time.
We don't have time for this. Okay, John, so you have...
You want me to set this up a little bit as far as happened for 3 hours, John?
Yeah. John, sure. Have you gotten to listen to any of our show today?
I have been told that you have overhyped this, Travis, to the point of exhaustion.
I have?
That you have. And Emily, by the way, Emily, you admit something. Your parents had to deal with you opening your Christmas presents early, didn't they?
No, I always open my Christmas. Hey, I was told by multiple people to text you. I was told by everybody to text you.
I wake up to a text this morning from Emily. Yep. Hey, we don't need to wait for you and Mason. We can tell the story multiple times. Come on.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I was trying to be convincing.
That's the right way to do it. That the idea that there was this great story that Alan was a part of, Travis and Sliwa show.
Which we, by the way, have no idea what it is.
Which is still on the air for another 4 minutes.
Well, tell the story.
Another 16 minutes. So this is the setup we've been waiting.
John, you
want to
wait
day.
Till Monday? You want to wait till Monday?
Yeah, let's string it along.
Yeah, I agree,
gentlemen. Right,
even so, Boss Amanda is in studio for this announcement.
I've been extremely annoyed by this whole thing.
Well, that's a good start.
There you go.
That's a good start.
That's aggressive.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. All right. So, for people who don't know, yesterday Mason often issues me monetary challenges.
Yes.
And yesterday he said, I'll give you $100. He heard about this strip club somewhere in Vegas called the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And he said, Ireland, you wouldn't be caught dead in the Peppermint Hippo.
No, not John Ireland.
I'll give you $100 if you go. And then Travis piggybacked it and goes, I'd give $100 if you guys went to the Peppermint Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
So you're $200. And then Mason, convinced later in the day that I really wasn't going to do it, added another $100.
Another $100 bucks.
$300 bucks in the pot.
$300 if we made an appearance at the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And let me just start by saying, we really, really wanted to go. There was a bunch of crap going on. The game ended late. Slee had to do a post-game Laker thing from the arena.
Right.
We really wanted to go. So we did.
Yes!
And I am sending you 8 pictures.
Nice!
Of proof of Sliwa and I at the Peppermint Hippo. Now, that
describe the
like,
Peppermint Hippo.
Okay.
First off, let's just do this. So we're at the Lakers game, and we're getting ready. This is, I think the broadcast is just about to start. John hits me with an elbow to my right, or his right, my left, and is like, hey, Slee, what do you think after the game we go to Peppermint Hippo? I'm like, John, the game's – they're about to do the starting lineup right now. What are we doing? We're going to Peppermint Hippo. You and I, John Ireland, announced, we're going to Peppermint Hippo after the game.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would be good. Okay, leave it alone.
All right.
Pay no attention. Do the post-game show. Start walking to the hotel. Send John a text. I'm like, hey, I'm back at the hotel. Great. I'll get us a taxi. Next thing I know, John is sitting. We're both sitting in the line trying to get some other people to come. Nobody's coming. We're both sitting in the line for the taxi. John in his Los Angeles Lakers voice to the taxi. So where are you guys going? We are going to the Peppermint Hippo. Guy like, turns around twice.
Could not have been more clear.
John is wearing the same clothes that he was wearing at the broadcast.
Nice,
shirt is
classy.
Tucked in. He looks professional, very ready to go. And the next thing you know, we are on our way to Peppermint Hippo. However, we went to Pepper Mill because our taxi took us to a restaurant called Pepper Mill.
Great breakfast. Great
late night. It took you to the Peppermill?
Yeah, so great late night breakfast.
You guys will notice that one of those pictures is of the Peppermill.
Yes.
Which is where he took us originally. And we went, no, we got to go to the Peppermint Hippo. So we get to the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And we start looking around. And the first thing we notice is no pictures. You're not allowed to take pictures inside the Peppermint Hippo.
Inside the Hippo, right.
So we walk up to the guy at the front, this really good dude named Sabo. He
is
was
the
manager.
Is that the picture that is?
That's
is
the third
the guy
person.
Picture?
Yeah, he's the guy in the middle in between me and Sway. That's Sabo. It's his birthday today.
Sabo is a manager. Bob, by the way, is the general manager. We happen to get cards from everybody
there. We are now
there.
Many celebrities.
And if anybody ever needs to go, we can get you hooked up. Go ahead, John.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so we explain to Sabo what we're up. I go, hey, we're like the two straightest arrows at this radio station we work at. Nobody thinks we were ever going to come over here. I know you have strict rules against taking pictures. Can we take a few? I promise we won't take any pictures of the girls dancing on stage. We won't do anything, you know, without getting your permission.
Right, right.
And he said, sure. So then they let us take that picture I just sent you of the actual silver hippo.
Of the hippo.
Yeah, and then he goes, let me find you a couple of girls. So he finds a couple of girls. That's the picture of me and Slee with the two girls.
I don't know if I got that one.
Oh, there, I got that one. Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're both dancers?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Slee and I at this point are pretty full of ourselves. We think, okay, we just stuck it to you two. You're going to give us $300. We're going to have a drink, and we're out of here.
By the way, we're going to have a drink because they gave us a comp drink.
Sure.
They gave us literally a ticket, a coupon.
And by the way, waived the cover when we told them what we were up to.
Nice.
Normally it was $50 cover. And they waived the cover.
$50?
Yeah, that's serious.
And so we're in. He hands us a drink ticket. The manager takes it. He goes, I got a great table for you guys. So he comes and sits down at the table. And Slee and I are just laughing because we've got $300 from you guys. What happens next was not only entirely predictable, but is exactly what probably should have happened in this story.
Okay.
Slee and I, first of all, I sit down, one of these girls saddles right up to Slee.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Right next to her.
That's,
sure.
That's how they make a living.
It's because I'm so good looking and my
right,
personality
right. Right
has a lot to
Slee.
Do with that.
Then,
exactly.
Then one of the other girls comes and literally sits right on my lap.
Okay.
She too is making a living.
And then, keep in mind, I told Slee this. I'm not a strip club guy. I haven't been in a strip club since the 80s. No
yes.
exaggeration. Like when I was in college.
Playing the same music, by the way.
Right, right. So Slee and I are feeling kind of good that we pulled one over on you two. And we've got a free drink. So we order a couple of Worthy Splashes, Trav. Because
okay.
Slee
nice.
Hadn't tried one yet.
Nice. Those are quite
got
good.
Got a little tequila, a little pineapple splash, some ice. And the next thing we know, the girls say to us, well, will you buy us a drink? And we say, sure, we're in good mood.
I know this trick.
You
go
just
ahead.
Spent okay. the $300 that Mason and
trick.
I were
Trav,
giving you.
Oh, no, no, no.
Stay
yeah,
with
yeah,
me.
Trav,
yeah.
this,
stay
this
with
beginning.
Me.
By the way, John, before you go any further, I thought, the whole thing I thought was, we're going to go take a picture next to this, next to the hippo, and then we're going to take off. We're done. We're leaving, right? Hey, it's
we
funny. Look at these pictures.
Holding the cab.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, take the pictures, get back in the cab.
Okay, next thing I know, first off, when we walk in, there's basically six girls that are waiting and lining up to talk to us. And it's probably not because John and I think we have pretty good personalities.
Right,
okay?
Right, sure.
So right out the gate, you're being bombarded with, I don't even know what's going
attention.
On. Like,
girls
and
are
I'm,
just coming at you.
Mace, and
in
I'm
lingerie.
Trying to explain. I'm trying to explain. I'm like, guys, I know this is, okay, it's not what you think it is. We're here. It's radio. We're probably going to be taking off. Next thing I know, John is with one of the managers. He's like, hey, Slee, they're giving us a whole VIP tour. I'm like, what? What's going on? You know, it's like a gang of people all walking, and now John is like getting us a tour of the entire place. I still don't know what's going on. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, he's taking me to the VIP room and to
nice.
The backstage and to the other thing else. And he goes, you guys want a table right by the main stage? And again, we're not staying. And we said, sure. So we sit down. We use our free drink coupon, and the girls say, would you buy us a drink? And by
there's
this time,
three of them. They're ordering.
Three girls,
like, yeah,
three girls
just
at the
ordering
table.
Whatever.
So the bill comes, and I got the cab, so Slee goes, I'll get the drinks.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, thanks. Okay, so we got two free drinks, so he was buying three drinks.
Yes.
And they were a little pricey, but not too bad.
Okay.
And then we start talking to the girls, and the girls start dancing. And I look at Slee, and I go, you want to roll? And Slee gives me this look like, they're being so nice to us. Let's have one more. Let's have a paid drink.
Okay. So Slee wants to stay.
Well, no, he didn't want to stay, but correct me if I'm wrong, Slee.
I was pot committed.
Felt kind of like, hey, they've been really cool about this. We haven't paid for anything yet. Let's throw them a bone. Let's buy the girls some drinks, give them a tip. And so since they played along with our dumb bit.
Yes.
So we were into drinks round two. And the drinks come, and next thing I know, more girls are coming over, and they're asking if we'll buy them drinks. And Slee and I are like, well, we really – and some Slee doesn't –
They found the dumbasses, and they're this is a great opportunity.
Yeah, you're the mark.
Trav, Marks, plural.
Yeah, plural, right, Marks.
If you don't see the dummy at the table, it's you.
So they bring the second round. Well, this time – it wasn't with the comp drinks.
Of course not.
So what? See, what was the bill for the second round of drinks?
Can I guess before you say it? How many drinks did you buy?
All right, so eight drinks.
Eight drinks.
And I'll give you the total with tip.
It's okay.
$200.
It's more than that.
It's
more than that. I'm going to say it's $350.
About $280. Okay. Right around $280.
Okay, yeah. So at this
right
point, we've blown all of the money that we won off of you guys because we're doofuses. Oh, but it gets worse.
Oh,
so then at this point, Slee and I go, okay, the canoe is now over the waterfall. Yeah. We got to get out of here.
Oh, by the way, when we say we're leaving, they're like, cool. Can we get one more drink? I'm like,
they did that too.
This is going well.
Yeah. As soon as they said we were leaving, they all said, well, do you mind buying us one more? And we're like, sure. So we were there. We were there 30, 40 minutes total.
Yeah, yeah, probably about
a
half hour.
At this point, we're trying to be good guys. We're asking them, where they're from, what their background is. We kind of
they're used to that. Hey,
Mace,
right,
Mace, if you
where's
heard the conversations,
where'd you go to college?
Oh yeah,
John
Mace,
and I were, having with these individual
it was,
women.
It was
I'm like,
as
so,
bad as you think it is. It was like that bad. And there's
so there, what grocery store do you guys use out here?
After the second time we say we're leaving, this girl, the one girl, starts working.
What's her name?
Hard.
What's her name?
Oh, I
Candy?
Don't remember.
Candy.
No.
Probably Mercedes.
No, she gives me this.
Mercedes.
She goes, there was 100% of Mercedes in there.
Yeah.
100%.
She goes, I didn't understand. Why are you leaving? And I go, oh, we got to meet some people. And she goes, well, you got to give me 15 minutes to take you in the back.
Oh.
And I went, no, I'm not that guy. I go. I don't mean to offend you. You're beautiful, but I'm not that guy. I'm not going. I don't want to lap dance. I'm not going in the back. You know, blah blah blah. She literally, Travis pulls out a lollipop and starts licking it.
Really?
And goes. Are you sure? And I said, I'm very flattered. Yes, I'm sure. The three girls at our table finally realize that we're not. Going to the back, like yeah. Slee and I are not like lap dance.
Not going to the executive room.
But I thought they liked you guys.
Right. Well, I'm doing the post game from there tonight.
Live from the hippo.
Okay. I thought you really made an impact.
So listen to this though. So they say to us as we're getting up to leave, one of them mentions it to Slee, and the other two mention it to me. They say, "Would you mind giving us a tip for our time?" Since
wow.
we spent all this time with you guys. And I went, I didn't know what to say. So I said, sure. And I opened my wallet and I don't have enough money to tip them. And I go, I'm very sorry. She goes, ATM right around the corner.
Yeah, I heard ATM
a couple times
yesterday.
Yeah. ATM.
What
so
was
I
the
get
surcharge
up, go
on
to the
ATM? About 40%?
20%. Yeah.
Guys,
20%.
Have you never been to a strip club before?
Yeah. What was,
no, Trav, literally,
this
never.
Is strip
Mercedes,
club 101.
Mercedes had a lollipop because you guys are suckers.
This is every single strip club that anyone has ever been
to
in
really,
their entire
I thought
life.
She really liked me.
Oh, yeah. I'm not done yet, Trav.
So
I go to the ATM, pay the $20.
There's
going to
be a gun in this
surcharge.
Story at some point.
No. But I will. I've got an epilogue. But I go to the ATM, and of course, the ATM only distributes hundreds.
Hundreds, right?
Of course, yes.
Of course.
And I've got three girls. Okay. So
no.
I didn't know what to do. We were in a duck. I gave them each 100 and we left.
Oh!
We ended up spending.
We're about red 600 right now. We're in the red six.
Yeah, we're between 600 and 700 now.
Wow. And you did not get anything meaningful out of it, like the guys in
not only
made.
We had a great. I had a great conversation. Yeah, like I had a great dialogue on my side.
I'm sure it was wonderful.
Not only did I not get anything meaningful, I dodged a bullet because I found out later that had I agreed to go in the back with this girl, mm-hmm. so she could, as she put it, rock my world for 15 minutes.
Sure,
that would have been another 600 sure. on top of the 600 that we already spent.
You guys know they're running a business, right?
Now we and
I tried using my AAA card. It does not work.
They don't take the AAA card. Wow.
So, the bottom line is we are the two biggest dopes in Vegas. We had $300 in our pocket from you two idiots who
and
dared
spent.
Us to go. And
I'd be
somehow
careful throwing
managed...
around that word idiot right about now.
Oh, don't. Trap. Tell me who the biggest chumps are in this story. I mean, come on. To not only blow the 300 you gave us, but then go way past 300 more for no reason. That's how dumb we were.
Yeah.
So that is the story.
Will you go back?
Mace, I can't tell you how many times they said, hey, so how long are you guys in town for?
Right.
And John would say, we leave Friday morning. They're like, okay, great. Well, listen, here's my car. We're going to have a car, or we'll have a car come pick you up at the hotel. We'll take care of you. Come back tomorrow,
wow.
guys. Come
sure.
on down.
Sure.
They're very inviting.
By the way, they were so
happy with us when we walked outside to get a cab. The GM goes, oh, screw that, and calls his limo driver and has his limo driver personally escort us back to the hotel.
Damn.
And leaves us with, hey, call me when you guys want to come back tomorrow.
Well, yeah,
I'll
you guys just spent $600 in a half an hour. Of course they want you to come back.
30 minutes. I had
never made any easier money than when you guys walked through the door. Amanda, you've been oddly quiet through all of this.
It was embarrassingly obvious what suckers we were.
Yeah, boss. I mean, Amanda, what is your take on Slee and Ireland's evening in Vegas?
Well, I feel like I've heard this story before many times from different men that I know.
Yeah, well... But for these two, for Ireland and Sliwa,
you would think we would be smarter.
But Ireland takes bets, first of all. So that
yes, correct.
No, I'm not surprised that they went to cash in on the winnings.
That part doesn't surprise me.
That makes sense. But that you guys were so easily taken to the hoop after that is even – I know both you guys a little bit. I know that that's not the lane that you live in on a weekend-to-weekend basis. But this is – this is literally this
is such
the
a good
addition
conversation
and
with
subtraction
that girl.
Of running a strip joint.
Right, right.
This is how they make their
this
money.
This is how they do it.
They treat you like you're air quotes special.
We'll send the limo.
And then the next thing you know, here's the bill, and you're like, wait, I thought we were friends.
She said I was so handsome.
This is it.
And nothing. Unbelievable.
Wow.
No, that was our first drink of the night. Was there?
No, but then. But then, Amanda, we get back to the hotel. All right, they drop us off. It's like 2:30 in the morning.
We took the limo back.
The club limo. They spent so much money.
Then did you tip the limo driver?
Of course.
Yeah, yes. We just gave him a 20.
What's the running total here for what you got?
Did you guys end up with
probably between 600 and 700? I think we spent on the night.
Wow. Yeah, total combined in a half hour.
And you didn't get any of the fancy.
By the way, hey,
Mace, extras, as they say,
Mace.
No
Mace, I call Lady Slee, and I'm like, hey, I don't really have much to explain right now, but I'm going to a strip club with John Ireland. And she's like, okay, what the hell are you talking about? But I'll call you later.
Wow.
So, Mace?
By the way.
That part we haven't done yet. We haven't had that conversation yet.
No, this is the first she'll be hearing of this right now on the air. But. Mace, you know this.
Yep.
I'm getting it all back at the tables tonight.
No, of course you are.
It's a foolproof plan. There's no way I can lose.
This place has been built on guys making money at the tables after a night at the strip joint.
Exactly.
This is exactly what it is. All right,
Mace. By the way, it got highly entertaining after that. We get back to the hotel, and it's like 2:30, and we run into one of the Lakers security guys, and he's got two girls with him, And Slee, you can back me up on this. I don't think I've ever seen two people as inebriated as these two girls who are still upright.
Oh, wow.
One of them was next level. It was really next level. She went to the restroom, and I'm like, I don't know how she's going to get there, and I don't know how she's going to get back.
Well, and that was the one that I had convinced at some point of the night. She was so drunk that I convinced that her and I had hooked up in Miami, and I was really offended that she didn't remember me. And it, she was
like, wait, this was made up, though.
Oh, completely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it, it's like, it's,
you convinced that, her that they hooked up in Miami.
That's not true. I go, it is true. I go, look at your phone. I'm in your phone.
Wow.
She, I go, my name's, I go, oh, that's where I was heading, Amanda. Bucks. I never got that far. Yeah, I never got that far.
Wow, well, what a night.
I was going to say, what do you got planned for tonight?
Yeah, I was going to say, anything you guys want us to do tonight? We have one more night here.
Sounds like go to the tables and lose some more.
Let's just say you two need to Venmo us that money as soon as possible so it can lessen our debt.
Deal. It will be done.
Deal, you got it. All right, Mason.
All right,
and
so
Ireland.
Trav, did that story meet,
did you like it or no?
Or exceed your expectations?
It exceeded mine.
It is a perfectly fine story that I've heard hundreds of times.
I am entertained just because it's Ireland and Sliwa.
Yeah, but two straight white stiffs walk into a strip joint and get taken to the hoop. It's not the first time I've heard the story. It's not the first time.
It's happened to others.
Yes.
I feel taken advantage of. I can't believe it.
I know. Hard to imagine. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.